Good evening and welcome to Christchurch. In case we haven't met before, my name is Daniel and it is a joy to be able to look at God's word with you this evening. Tonight we are looking at John chapter 11, and so I highly recommend that you grab a Bible. If you don't have a hard copy, then why not look it up online on BibleGateway.com. Allow me to add that I think this is really, really important. I highly recommend you track with me as I'm preaching through a passage. I really appreciate it when people actually, when I'm preaching, that they're looking at the Bible, at their Bibles with me, so as to keep me accountable. So if I'm preaching something that's not what God's word is actually saying, then I want you to call me out. I want you to tell me, hey, I'm not sure that's actually what the passage was teaching. We want to, as a church, be able to hear what God is saying to us clearly. So I highly, highly encourage you to open the Bible with me and to look at it so that we can look at it together. So as I mentioned, we are looking at John chapter 11 today, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 44. But before I read our passage, allow me to lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you for everything you teach us in it. And so we pray that this evening you would give us alert minds and hearts to hear what you have to say to us. And we pray, Father, that you would nourish our souls as we hear you speak. And we pray, Father, as we hear your word this evening, it wouldn't just be an intellectual exercise, but we pray that your spirit would change us according to what we learn tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 11. So starting at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." If only I had moved. If only I'd accepted that job. If only I'd never booked that holiday. If only I'd never entered that relationship. If only they'd never left home that day. Life is riddled with regrets. How often do you find yourself thinking, if only the past had just been a little bit different? We often feel a sense of nostalgia, not for the past, but for the present that could have been. That is exactly how two sisters, Mary and Martha, were feeling after their brother Lazarus died. When they see Jesus a few days after their brother's death, look at what they say to him. Verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And look at me at verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." The sisters lament, "If only you'd been here, Jesus, our brother would still be alive." In John's gospel, Jesus has been calling people to believe in him as the Son of God, promising life after death to all who do. But let's be honest, life after death seems like such a far-fetched idea, doesn't it? Stephen Hawking said, "I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. Is Stephen Hawking right? Is life after death just a fairy tale? Our question this evening is, isn't believing in life after death just a pipe dream? Isn't believing in life after death just a pipe dream? Now, before we begin to answer that question, we need to set the stage by considering the shock of verses 1 to 16. Our first point is, Jesus allows his friend to die. Jesus allows his friend to die. Our passage begins with the two sisters sending a messenger to Jesus to deliver the news of their brother's illness. But notice Jesus' response, verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." In 33 AD Jerusalem, the sister sending of a messenger to Jesus, whom they know can miraculously heal people, was the equivalent of calling 999 today. They're pleading with him to hop on the fastest donkey he can find to come see his friend who's on the verge of dying. But verse 6 is really odd. Verse 5 says that Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, but then verse 6 says that that is why he chooses to delay his visit to Lazarus. Wouldn't you expect verse 6 to start with a "but" instead of with a "so"? How on earth can delaying his trip, which will cost his friend his life, be a loving thing to do? Isn't Jesus ignoring his friends here? Isn't he being callous? Look at me at verse 11. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him." Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. Why? He wants his disciples to believe. But to believe what exactly? Don't they already believe in him? Why else would they be following him? Although Jesus allowed his friend to die, when he eventually arrives in Bethany, we'll see that he's not indifferent to the fact that his friend has passed away. What will the death of Jesus go on to teach us? It will highlight just how much Jesus loved his friend Lazarus and his sisters. Our second point is, Jesus loves his friends. Jesus loves his friends. Now, I appreciate that allowing someone to die might not be the most obvious sign of love. But stick with me to see how this plays out. Look down with me at verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Contrary to what the people in verse 37 think, John is at pains to show us that Jesus is not stone-hearted. John lets us know three times in our passage that Jesus loved Lazarus. We see it there in verse 36 and also in verse 3 and in verse 5. Jesus didn't allow Lazarus to die because he didn't care about him or about his sisters. He allowed him to die because he wants to raise him from the dead. When Jesus will go on to resurrect him, he will show us just how much he loves his friends. He loves them so much that he came from heaven to earth to make life after death possible for them. But if Jesus is soon going to raise Lazarus from the dead, why is he crying? He's crying because he feels the pain of living in a fallen, broken world, just like we do. When a Christian friend dies, even though you know you're going to have the joy of seeing them again in the new creation, that doesn't mean you don't hurt in the here and now. Similarly, Jesus is knowing that he will see Lazarus again doesn't mean that he doesn't feel the pain of being separated from him in that moment. Jesus knows what it feels like to suffer the loss, the painful loss of a loved one. And he knows what it feels like to mourn with those who mourn. We need to realize that just because Jesus allows suffering doesn't mean that he's detached from it. He's not indifferent to pain. He's not in heaven aloof from our suffering. In John 15:15, Jesus refers to his followers as friends. He says, "No longer do I call you servants, but friends." As believers, we have the mind-blowing privilege of being friends with our Maker. So just like Jesus cared deeply about the pain and suffering of his friends Mary and Martha, he cares deeply about ours. Although Jesus allows his friend to die, he's not impervious to the agony it causes. He weeps for his friend, and he weeps with his friends. Although the death of Lazarus shows us just how much Jesus loves his friends and suffers with them, the fact that Jesus allowed it also gives us the opportunity to see that he raises his friends from the dead. Our third point is Jesus raises his friends. Jesus raises his friends. Look at me at verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. The NIV puts it very mildly, a bad odor. Listen to how the King James Version translates that same verse. "Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh." That sounds so much rawer, earthier, more real. In a warm climate without refrigeration, she's right. By this stage, his body would have begun to decompose, and it would indeed stinketh. But listen to what Jesus says to Martha. As we read, try to spot why he says she should believe in him. Have a look at verse 40. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Why did Jesus tell Martha to believe? So that she would see God's glory. But what does that glory look like? Verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." What is God's glory here? The undoing of death. The transformation of a decomposing dead body into a walking, breathing, blood pulsating one. What Jesus has done here to Lazarus is a picture of what he will do to all of his friends, all of us who believe in him. He's proving the bold claim he made to Martha back in verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Notice how Jesus doesn't say that he just gives resurrection and life. He says that he is the resurrection and the life. In other words, Jesus is the very source of life. So if you want to have life after death, wonderfully you can through him. Believing in death isn't a pipe dream. Jesus proves in this passage that he can give you life after death. You see, the disciples by this stage already believed in Jesus as the Messiah, but Jesus is expanding their understanding of what it means to believe in him. He's showing them that he's not just a messianic king who can perform healings, but that he even brings the dead to life. In chapters 5 to 10, Jesus claimed to be God. Now he's continuing to show his disciples how his claim is true. He really is, as chapter 1 says, the one through whom all things were made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? According to Stephen Hawking, as we saw earlier, the afterlife is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. But who's actually afraid of the dark? If there's no life beyond death, wouldn't dying just be like falling into a deep sleep? Who's afraid of that? That's not scary at all. But you know what is scary? God's justice. In John chapter 5, Jesus says that he will judge the world for all its evil. Now that is something worth being afraid of. Do you know why? Because we're all guilty of evil. I know I deserve to be judged for the wrongs I've done. And if you're completely honest, so do you. We all deserve God's judgment. But here's the beauty of tonight's passage. Jesus is showing us here that he has come to give us eternal life instead of the judgment that we deserve. Will you believe in him for it? Don't spend eternity regretting, if only I hadn't lived life my own way. If only I had trusted in Jesus. If only I hadn't ignored Jesus' offer of forgiveness and eternal life. You can have eternal life with Jesus where there will be no more if onlys. Ravi Zacharias, a well-known Christian author and apologist, sadly passed away recently. Listen to the confidence he had of living beyond death because of his certainty that Jesus raises the dead. He wrote this in his final book, which was released just last week. The story of the gospel is the story of eternal life. My life is unique and will endure eternally in God's presence. I will never be no more. I will never be lost because I will be with the one who saves me. Ravi has gone to be with his Savior. If you're believing in Jesus, one day you will have that privilege too. You will never be no more. If you're not yet believing in Jesus, it's not too late to start. In fact, why not begin to put your trust in him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that believing in eternal life isn't a pipe dream. Thank you so much that Jesus came to earth to give us eternal life instead of the judgment that we deserve. Thank you that he proves it by raising the dead. Father, we pray that as we reflect on this truth, we pray that it would encourage us and bring us great joy, knowing that death is not the end for us as believers. And Father, we pray also for those of us who are not yet believing in Jesus. We pray that you'll cause us to believe in him so that we too may have eternal life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.